Hey, it's Bobby Bones. If you're a veteran or if you've got a family member or friend who served, I want to tell you about Safeguard Veterans. Sometimes the hardest part isn't asking for help, it's knowing where to turn. Safeguard Veterans connects veterans, families, and caregivers with local support and resources that understand military life. And when you're talking to people who understand those experiences, finding the right support can feel a whole lot easier. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans, any door. The right support.
Enjoy the silence Welcome to the show, everybody. Thanks for joining me with today on Off Limits. I appreciate you joining me. Today's I'm doing an impromptu show. I don't usually do a show this early in the day, but I'm going to be out of town this weekend and wanted to be sure to get a show in before I left and kind of catch myself up and you guys up on what's going on and what I'm thinking about, the latest topics and things in my brain, just getting them off my brain. So we're doing a brain purge today. If you want to call into the show, the number is 323-843-6160, and I'm happy to take your call. So tomorrow is my birthday, and I have been so busy, I haven't really had much time to think about the actual event itself. And, you know, after so many birthdays, they begin to get kind of, you know, the thrill is kind of gone, right? So, fortunately, though, you know, my husband is going to take me out tomorrow night. My husband, my mother, and my best friend are all going to take me out to dinner tomorrow night. And then Saturday, I'm going to be going out of town for a graduation of my niece. So, hopefully it'll be a good birthday tomorrow. But it's going to be very low-key. I'm just going to hang out with my mom and my husband and my best friend, and we're just going to have dinner and have sprinkles, cupcakes, and a couple. And then that's it. Go to sleep. So nothing really exciting for my 38th birthday tomorrow. But I will be 38 years old, and it is really hard for me to believe that I'll be 38 years old. That's only 2 years away from 40. And I was talking to someone, I don't know, I'd met a few months ago, and they said, "How old are you?" And I told them I was 37. And she was like, "You're 37? So she's like, "Yeah." She's like, "Oh, wow." She's like, "I didn't think you'd be almost in your early 40s. I was like, "Oh, my God, early 40s. Oh, my God, I'm not there yet. So slow down. Slow down." So she's like, "You're late 30s, early 40s. And I'm like, you know, I don't usually have a, have much of a, I don't really think about my birthday or my age that much until recently. And I guess that's what happens when you get to get older, get to be close to over the hill at 40. So, but I'm not afraid of it. I certainly think that I'm somebody who has always been very self-reflective and thought about myself and looked into my inner workings and trying to figure out what makes me tick and everything. And so I've done that all of my life. And so I know who I am already. So turning 40, it doesn't really scare me that much. It's just that, you know, when I do turn 40 in 2 years, it will be, an adjustment in my thinking somehow. Something about that four in front of your age makes a huge difference, I guess, because you're no longer young, right? Not that I'm young, that young anyway, but I mean, no longer, I'll be closer to death probably than to birth by that point. So it'll certainly be an adjustment to some degree, but whatever. But, you know, a lot of people go through this when they get to be closer to that age, and hopefully I will grow old gradually. I think that I will. You know, and I certainly am not somebody who looks at aging as a bad thing. I certainly look at it as a good thing. I always wanted to be older. When I was younger, I seemed older. I've always seemed older than my age to people. I mean, not the way I look, but the way that I am, like my personality and my demeanor. I've always come across as much older or more mature than my peers, even when I was a kid, you know? So I certainly am not afraid of it, but I don't really want to brace it either. I don't want to just like run into it. Yeah, I'm going to get older in 2 years, you know, tomorrow's my birthday and I'll be 38. Big deal. But I'm not really afraid of it. But a lot of people are really afraid of aging and think that it's a bad thing and they're scared of it and they look at it as if it's something to fear. And what I was trying to say is I look at it like people actually who get older, it's really a privilege to be older because people, as you age, you actually do not, most people actually learn more. They grow wiser typically if they're smart and they actually are introspective and think about what they do in their lives, as opposed to some people who just kind of kid in their lives. So if you actually look at your life and look at yourself and what you've accomplished, what you want to still accomplish and kind of reflect on who you are, I think that's what I do every day that I have and kind of look at where I've been, where I'm going and where I want to be compared to what my dreams were. You know, when I was a kid, I was, when I was really young, like 7, I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to be an attorney or whatever. And I certainly want to, I certainly wanted to be somebody important. You know, I remember when I was like a little kid, I'd watched L.A. Law, and I said, I want to be a lawyer. But the reason I wanted to be a lawyer is because they made a lot of money. You know, this is the impression I had as a kid. They make a lot of money. They get to go to work in nice suits and nice cars and work in Beverly Hills or whatever the case was, Century City or whatever. And they get to have nice houses and they get to go home and just kind of, you know, do whatever they want. And of course, the reality of being an attorney is quite different in some degrees. Some of that's true, but I think so. I wanted an attorney when I was really, really young. And then when I was like in high school, I wanted to be a CEO. Like, you know, the head of a major corporation or whatever. And I was like, okay, so I want to be a CEO because I'm very directive and, you know, very, what's the word I'm looking for? I have a lot of leadership qualities or ability or whatever. People like to follow me when I'm a leader. So I wanted to do that. And also because you made a lot of money, right? So I wanted to do that then. But the thing is, all through those years, those younger years and those later years in my teen years, before I was like 13 or whatever, 14, preteen years, I didn't really look introspectively, look at myself and really think about what I really wanted to be or do, because I was looking at it from the perspective that I did not want to be poor. I wanted to have money and I wanted to do well in my life financially, because I did not come from a well-off family. At least my mom's side, you know, wasn't. So I didn't want to end up like my mother, or, you know, and it's not that she was a horrible life she had had or anything, or she was like, we were living in abject poverty or anything. We weren't. We were just, you know, she was a working class mom, and my grandmother was a working class grandmother. My mom's family was working class except for her brother, and well, he was working class too. He ended up being a colonel in the army, and he did very well and has lots of money now. But I'm just saying, so my point is that I always wanted more for myself than I had as a child, which is most people want that, right? And so, but I didn't really look inside and see what my skill set was. And so as a kid, I really loved to play the violin. I started playing the violin when I was 5 years old. And then I started playing the piano when I was 8. I started playing the trombone when I was 11 and the guitar when I was 20. So I have always been very musical, but I didn't really pay attention to it. And also, I would just like build card houses and stuff, you know, houses out of cards. Like I have a deck of cards. I'd put them on the floor and I'd build houses. And I would draw floor plans, like just for fun, like designing my own little houses and things like that. There's the garage over here, the bedroom over here, the living room over here. And then I would draw the house out and then I would build them with Lincoln logs and things like that. So I would do those things and I would enjoy it. I loved it, but I didn't really look at it as think about it as a career, because no one told me it was an opportunity or an option to actually do that for a career, because I came from a family of, like as I said, working class family, where they felt that you had to have a secure, stable job where you went 9 to 5, you know, in an office or whatever, and then you got paid and took a paycheck home and you got Social Security when you got old and you die, right? That's what they... Hold on a second. What is that sound? What is that? Oh, that's the AC. Okay, sorry. Anyway, it's sounded a little louder than usual. Oh, hi, guys. David and Kayla. Hey, good to see you guys. Sorry I didn't see you there. Thanks for joining me early in the day. I know. Isn't it crazy? So anyway, what was I saying? So my point was going to be this. Sorry, I got a little distracted there. So the point is that they didn't see any kind of job in the arts or any kind of job in, you know, design or that thing as a real job. They, because they were working class people, they saw getting a paycheck as being a real, working for someone else, whatever. But I was never like that. I don't know where it came from. My genetic pool, gene pool, whatever, made me very different. I, even as a little kid, this is a funny story I'll tell you, which is in my book that I'm in the middle of writing. I've been writing for years. I have a memoir that I've been writing. It's called Walking Wounded, and it's about my life, and it's an emotional thing. I've never been like molested. I've never been into drugs or anything like that. It's not like it's anything really spectacular or super, sensational like that about my life. It's more about an emotional journey about what I've had to go through being biracial, being gay, and living in the South, and having kind of family I did, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, God, I keep getting sidetracked. I'm sorry. I'm such a Gemini. Anyway, so what was I saying? So when I was a kid, I had all these friends. So every summer I would spend with my grandmother, okay? And she lived out in East Texas, about 30 miles outside of Dallas, okay, east of Dallas. And she, I would stay with her every summer because I loved her mother. We're very close, whatever, and whatever. So I had friends that lived out there on the same block. There were four houses on her block, just four houses. Each house was like a half acre, and then there were four houses on her block. And so I was friends with this next door neighbor named Tina, and I was next friends with the kids across the street, some other friends, whatever. And so one summer, I was probably about, I guess, 10 years old. I started a club, a club. So I said, I'm going to start a club. So I started a club, and they all joined, of course. We were all in my club. And I had to made them pay dues every month or every week or something like that. And I told them the dues would go to us doing something at the end of the summer. So I organized all this, and I had all these dues go in this jar, this box weight we had. And so every week, whatever, they'd pay me their dues, and then I'd put them in the box. And so I'll get to what happened to that in a minute. But anyway, so – what did they get for their membership? Well, basically, I made them work. I was like a slave driver. I set up a desk one time. I remember doing this. I had this big-ass desk that my grandmother had, like this big-ass executive wood desk with wood drawers and stuff. It was like, I don't know, 6 feet long and like 4 feet wide. It was huge, right? And that was in my bedroom at my grandmother's house. And then I'd like desk or like chairs set up in front of it, and I would make them do schoolwork. I got extra ditto sheets or whatever they were called from school, and I'd make them do schoolwork and stuff like that. And then the same summer later on, I made them like paint the garage. I made them paint the garage door, and I don't know. I just made them do all this manual labor shit, and they were doing it, right? And I wasn't doing it to be mean, but I just was like, okay, well, the point was I was I had an end game in mind. They're paying the inside of the garage, right? And so that would be our clubhouse, okay? Because my grandma didn't drive anymore. So that was going to be our clubhouse. And so I was making them fix it up and everything. And I was helping them. It wasn't like just them, right? So anyway, one day, like all six of them come over and they said, can we talk to you outside, please? And I'm like, okay. So I come outside. I said, are we going to do the club today? And they're like, no. They said, we don't want to be in your club anymore. We're going to start a fun club. We're going to be our own. And we're going to, excuse me, and we're going to do fun stuff and blah, blah, blah. And you can't join and blah, blah, blah. So they kicked me out of my own club, basically, and they went on and did their own thing. And that went on for a few weeks, and everything was okay. But my point is that I've always been very organized and very, I don't know, I can gather people up for a cause. I've always been good at that. So, getting to a point here. So, oh, by the way, at the end of the summer, we ended up going to Six Flags with all the money we saved, and we went to Six Flags, and we went out to eat and stuff like that, all six of us. It was lost. Anyway, so I knew that I was good as I got older. That I was good at organization. I was good at leading people. I was also good at spatial planning and design and visual stuff and just seeing things visually and depth perception and all these things. I was good at all these things, but I didn't really put it together. And so as I got older and I went to college, I made in business because, well, that's what I was supposed to do. I was raised to believe that you're supposed to be in business or be in some kind of profession or law or whatever where you can have a stable career. But I didn't want that. But I did it anyway because that's what I felt I was supposed to do. And so while I was in school, after I finished school, I went into business or whatever, and I worked in it for about a year or 2 years, and then I went into starting my own company. Because I got fired from a job from this horrible person I worked for. So ultimately, I ended up starting my business, and it was a marketing company, and I had that business for 6 years, or 7 years, actually. And so while I was doing that business, I knew, okay, look, I do not really want to do this the rest of my life. It's enjoyable to some degree. It's good money, whatever, but it's not what I want to do. So I went back and got a degree when I was 25, degree in interior architecture and design, and then ultimately went back to get my master's degree in architecture. So ultimately, I ended up becoming an architect and being an interior designer as well. So I do all these things, and that's what I do every day. So I didn't really But the way that that happened is that I didn't really notice how it was kind of just unfolding until I got older and really reflect on myself, look back on my life and said, what do I love to do? And I didn't know, it wasn't really clear to me by my family or anybody else that I could have a career in arts and make good money and actually make a living. You know, am I rich? No. Am I ever going to be like some billionaire? Hell no. I probably won't unless I win the fucking lotto or unless, you know, I get some huge, huge project or something that I have no inkling what that would be, like some massive, like, you know, stadium or something. So I don't think that that's ever going to happen. But I don't have to be rich or have tons of money to be happy or content. It's, as I've said in my show before, money is not what makes me happy. It's not what makes me tick. What makes me happy, what makes me tick are my family, my friends, my relationships, the love that I have in my life, good health, and things like that. Those are the things that are important to me. And so I have those things, and so I see myself as being a successful individual because I have achieved in my life that kind of success, what I define as success. So my birthday is tomorrow. Looking over my life and looking back, you know, when I have a birthday now, I don't really think about it in a negative light. And a lot of people do because they're not happy with where they are in their lives. And I think that if you are somebody who looks at your life and you say, I'm not happy with my life is because I haven't tried those things. I haven't tried this. I haven't tried that because I was afraid or because of fear or whatever. Then you really have to remember, as I've said before on my show as well, fear is not real. It is something you only feel. It's inside you, and it's only an illusion, as I said before, about as well as race and other things as well. But it is not real. So you have to push through fear and pursue your dreams, whatever they are. And not everybody has the opportunity to do that. Some people are in situations where they can't just get up and go and move to New York City or LA or the big city, whatever that might be, and pursue their dreams. They have to. You know, there's reality to deal with, you know, in life. I understand that. But what you have to remember is that your life is what you make it. So if you're in a situation where you feel you can't pursue your dreams, well, you have the choice. You can either choose to stay where you are in the situation that you're in, or you can change your life to suit your dreams. So I think that people really have to remember it's important. It's really important that you follow your dreams in some form or fashion. And if you follow your dreams, like let's say you want to be an actor. Okay. Let's say you want to be a famous actor. You want to be famous. That, by the way, I have something to say about acting. If you want to be an actor, since Caleb's in the room, if you want to be an actor, by the way, you have to ask yourself this. My friend Chad Allen told me one time, a long time ago, I was 19 years old, I said, I want to be an actor. He's like, well, he said, you'd probably be a good actor. He said, but you shouldn't do acting unless you can't do anything else. He said, if it's the only thing you can do, then do acting, be an actor, he said. Because otherwise, it's really, really hard, he said. It's a horrible industry, blah, 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 blah. He went on and on and on about it. And so I didn't pursue acting because it really wasn't that important to me. But I said to him, you know, he said to me, you know, what kind of actor do you want to be? And I said, I don't know. I just want to be an actor and act, you know, whatever kind of way I can do it. He said, so it doesn't matter what you get paid. I said, no, I just do acting. He said, okay. And so I asked a friend of mine once who said to me they wanted to be an actor. I said to them, I said, what kind of actor do you want to be? And they told me, you know, I just want to be an actor, whatever, same kind of thing I said. Well, I said to him, well, to ask yourself this, do you want to be an actor or do you want to be a star? Because there's a difference. You can be a star and be a good actor, or you can just be an actor and not be a star. If you're really an actor, I think, if you're really somebody who loves to act, then you'll act regardless of whatever you're paid. You'll act on Broadway, you'll act off Broadway, you'll act in the community theater, you'll act, you know, for the kiddie show, whatever. You'll act wherever you can because you love the craft of acting. That is an actor to me. This is how I see it. So that is a true actor. Now, someone who wants to be a star is different, and there's nothing wrong with that. But to be a star just simply means to be famous for acting or for singing or whatever. So I think when people say to me they want to be an actor, they think they should actually ask themselves, you know, do you really want to be an actor or do you want to be a star or do you want to be famous? So you might want to ask yourself that question. But I think even if, so let's say you want to be an actor or whatever and you want to go be like movies or something. And so if you're in a situation where you live in Podunk, Egypt or something, and you there's no way I could ever be an actor or whatever because I can't afford to get there or whatever. Well, just if you're asked to Los Angeles or to New York City, wherever you want to go, where the acting is, first of all, that's the first step, I think. Move your ass there. And in order to move there, maybe you have to work two jobs. Maybe you have to borrow money, whatever the case is. Maybe you have to steal a car. Just kidding. Whatever the case is, do whatever you can to make your dreams come true. Because the worst thing in life, in my opinion, is living your life with regrets and looking back on your life and saying, oh, my God, I should have, could have, would have, right? Because no, you know, there's a saying where somebody says, nobody ever says that I wish I hadn't tried, you know? And that's true. People try all the time and they fail, but people never say, I wish I hadn't tried. They say, I wish I would have tried, right? So it's so important to me for people, and I try to encourage people to pursue their dreams, whether it's acting or singing or being an architect or being a dancer or being, I don't know, an accountant. Whatever the case is, you know, I've always been like that. And I've never understood why people put these obstacles in front of them. I understand that life is difficult and it puts shit in front of you so you can't really overcome it. It's not like you can't overcome it. It's, like I said, it's an illusion. And life really isn't that hard. It can be very difficult, yes, but I'm saying it's not really that hard to play the game, if I want to put it that way. Because I look at life like that. Life is like a fucking test. It's like a test or a game, and you have to figure out a way to get around the rules to win the game. And so it doesn't mean that you break the law. I'm just saying that you make your own rules, I guess is what I'm saying. And so if people tell you you can't do something, say, fuck you, yes, I can, and show them that they're wrong. That's what I've always tried to do and done. People said, you know, when I was younger, the first college I went to was a very expensive college. And my family said, my extended family, not my mother, not my mom and my grandmother, but my uncles and aunts and stuff, said, you can't afford to go there. You can't go there, blah, blah, blah. I said, I'll get financial aid, you know. And so I got accepted, of course, and then I went, and I was fine, and because I worked and everything else to get my way through there. So if you really want something, you can really do it. Now, this is, by the way, this is what I'm like. See how fast I'm talking, by the way? I'm talking really, really, really fast. This is why I call this show Brain Purge, because I am literally just like, blah, like verbal vomiting. Everything in my fucking brain has come out. That's why we call it Brain Purge. That's what we're doing right now. So if you're like a little lost, sorry, but this is how the show goes. I'm going to take a break and try to calm myself down. I feel like I'm getting manic or something. I'm not manic depressive, but I feel like I am. Take a break, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about some of the current events going on in the world and see what you guys have to say about it. If you want to call in, then 323-843-6160, and we'll be right back. All right, so back. If you call in, the number is 323-843-6160. I'm going to try to slow down my speaking now. I don't know. I've always been like that. I speak really fast sometimes. I don't typically speak like that in person. Sometimes I do on the phone sometimes or on air. Sometimes I speak like that in person if I'm really, like, excited or something like that. But I sometimes feel like I'm manic depressive, but I know I'm not because I've been to the therapist before about that kind of thing, and I'm not. But anyway, I sometimes think I am because I just blah, 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 blah. But it's just the way I am always. My brain, my mouth can't keep up with my brain. It's just true. It's always been like that. So I like right now when I'm speaking probably what seems like a regular pace to you, I feel like I'm like drudging my speech through a vat of mud or something or molasses. I mean, it feels really slow the way I'm speaking right now because my brain moves so much faster than I can actually speak. So anyway, sorry if I sound a little crazy, but anyway, that happens sometimes. Today I was talking to someone from Blog Talk Radio who has a show, and he, I'm not going to name him. I'm sure if he listens to this show, he'll know who he is, but he is heterosexual, and I'm gay, as you all know, and he has always been somewhat weird. He used to actually kind of troll my show years ago, and lately, you know, he's kind of cozied up to a friend of mine, a BTR friend of mine, I'll call her, and they kind of are close or friendly or whatever, right? Well, he's kind of, I don't know, he's just odd, because like the day he said something to me on Twitter, and I posted something about, I can't remember, I posted something about some article, and I don't remember what it was about, but it was something about gay men or something, I don't remember, just on Twitter or whatever, right? And he saw it and responded and made a joke about it or whatever, about wanting sausage or something like that. And I said, sorry, I only like the big sausage. You know, just kidding around, right? And he said, oh, mine's very big, thank you. And I said, stop hitting on me. You know, I was just kidding, right? And he writes me back. He says to me, like I would ever hit on you. There's nothing there to hit on, you know, whatever. And, you know, like he just thinks I'm disgusting or whatever. And so I'm like, okay. he takes it completely seriously, right? So some people don't know how to take a joke. And so I find it when guys, especially heterosexual guys, are like that, when they're so, I find them to be kind of insecure about the sexuality or whatever. Because why else would you feel the need to be so kind of, you know, condescending and rude? And so I don't know if I'm going to remain talking to this person or being friends with them or whatever. I'll probably be cordial, but I'm not going to be like friendly or whatever. But I just get tired of people. Every time a straight guy is doing this all the time. Every time a gay guy makes a joke or is kidding around or whatever, he thinks that he wants them or something. And this guy, I've seen his real picture, by the way, is not my type at all. So I would never be interested in this person sexually. But have you ever noticed how a lot of straight guys think every gay guy wants them? And I think it's like a phenomena. I don't know what it is or why. I've never, ever, ever been interested in a heterosexual man, ever. I like guys who like guys, you know. I like men who like men. I don't want a guy who likes women. Why would I want to go after some? You know, I always say, why would I want to bark up the wrong tree? Or bark up a tree that bears no fruit is my little joke. That's what I always say. So I don't ever go after straight men. I never have. And I've never been attracted to them. I'm just not. And you can kind of tell. I mean, I can almost always tell who's straight and who's not, right? There have been some gray areas occasionally. But gay guys have a certain, I don't know, I don't want to call it gay face, but I don't know. We sort of have, it's in the eyes or something. I think our eyes are kinder. You know what I mean? I think we have nicer eyes. Like, I mean, when I say nicer eyes, I mean, like, our eyes are kinder. You look in our eyes, we look like a kinder person or individual. You know, just generally speaking, I don't know, it may sound stupid or weird, but it's like I look into a gay guy's eyes, I can tell he's gay typically. I don't know why, it's gaydar or whatever, but I can. Whereas a straight guy, I look in his eyes, the same thing. I can tell like a hardness or a hard, kind of a wall or something. I guess maybe that's what it is. Maybe gay guys are just more open, we're more vulnerable, and more accessible emotionally, and therefore, when you look at us, in our eyes, you know, we're more there. It's like we're there, visually there, or whatever. Whereas you look in a straight guy's eye, it's like they're just wall there, and it's you can't really see through it because they don't want to let people in because they're much more guarded with their emotions because they've been conditioned by society to not let people inside and not let people see their emotions and blah, blah, blah. Whereas gay guys don't have that whole hang-up thing. But so I think maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But whatever the case is, I think that it really irritates me when straight guys think that, you know, you can't just, you know, because you can't just kid around with people because they act like you want them all the fucking time. And I'm like, Jesus, can't you take a fucking joke? God damn. So people are so fucking uptight. And so anytime I come across a guy like that, a heterosexual guy, I always think he's got issues with sexuality. But that's just my opinion. Anyway, so there was a, I don't know if you guys heard a while back about the story about the couple who tried to get that bakery to bake their cake for their wedding. It's a gay couple, and they were having a wedding, and they went to this bakery and asked them to do a cake for them, and they refused to do it because they were doing a gay wedding, right? Well, it was all over the news or whatever. And so now the same bakery that refused to do a gay wedding in Colorado is now baking a cake for a dog marriage. So they're baking these cakes for two dogs that are getting married, but they refuse to bake two cakes or a cake for two people of the same sex getting married because they somehow see two dogs being married as more legitimate than two people of the same sex getting married. I mean, really? I mean, really? I don't know what to say. So, just honestly, it's just blatant homophobia, really. And we have had so much of this lately. I mean, it's really becoming rampant. I mean, honestly, there was just today a kid in Paris, a gay teenager who is dead because he was attacked by skinheads for being gay. And, of course, you know, recently we've had all of these attacks in New York City and other places across the United States, but specifically New York City, nine, I think, different instances in the past 6 weeks alone. People getting gay bashed because they're gay. And I don't understand what people really hope to achieve by this, other than just being mean or evil, obviously, and wanting to hurt someone. But and obviously being gay themselves and having a repressed identity side, that's why they want to take it out on the gay people. But anyway, what do you think is going to happen? All gay people are going to stop being gay all of a sudden because you beat up a few of us? Or all gay people are going to stop, you know, having gay pride parades or requesting gay rights that we want, equality or whatever. I mean, I don't really understand what the end game is other than just to hurt people. So that may be all it is. But it's hard to put my mind, an intelligent one, into the mind of someone that thinks like that anyway. I can't fathom ever wanting to hurt someone that way just because they're different than I am. It doesn't even enter my mind or occur to me to do that ever. So I can't really put my mindset in that kind of mindset because I don't have that kind of brain, that, you know, small little piece of brain that would do that kind of thing. But whatever, people are going to do what they're going to do. I can't really stop them. But the good thing is that there's a task force in New York City about training gay people on how to have, you know, self-defense courses, whatever. And, you know, being gay, a lot of us have never had a self-defense course or you know, like myself, and was never taught how to fight or whatever. I had to teach myself, although I've never had to fight, but I know how to do it now to some degree. I mean, I could defend myself if I had to. That's what I'm saying. You know, be a fighting bitch. But I think most gay boys have not, you know, especially if you don't have a dad around, aren't typically interested in combative arts or martial arts or anything like that. And so a lot of times we don't learn how to defend ourselves the way that a heterosexual boy may. And also I think a lot of us are more peaceful people. I think a lot of gay people are just not really, not all of us, obviously there are exceptions, many exceptions, but I'm saying a lot of us are not really all that into, you know, pain or hurting people or inflicting pain upon other people. So I think that's why it's not really that popular for us. But anyway, whatever. So the good thing is they're training them to actually be to self-defense or whatever else. Now, if it were me, you know,
I have no problem shooting somebody on the spot, okay? I don't want to kill anybody. It's the last thing I would want to do. I would shoot them in the knees. I'd shoot them in the butt. I'd shoot them in the shoulder, or, you know, the kneecap, the foot, whatever, without having to kill them unless I absolutely had to kill someone in self-defense. But I think, you know, that brings me to gun control, which I think is iffy. I think people should have the right to carry a gun for protection. I don't believe people should have the right to carry fucking assault weapons and all that kind of shit. No, I mean, those are just to kill people and nothing else. But I mean, if you have a gun, a pistol or something, and you have it in your home and you want to protect yourself, that's perfectly fine with me. I think that's fine. But to have an arsenal is another thing. And I think that, you know, if I had to defend myself, I would. Like I said, I would not hesitate to get my gun and kill someone who tried to break into my house or something, because you have the right to do that. But I've only killed them, like I said, if I absolutely had to. I mean, I don't even like to step on like a bug or something. I see a bug outside or something, I don't want to kill a spider. Or if I see a spider in the house, I put it in a cup and I throw it outside. I mean, I'm really not a violent person. So it's just the only time that kind of stuff comes out in me is if I am assaulted or someone's attacking me or something, either physically, you know, or whatever. That's the only time that kind of rage comes out in me where I'd want to hurt somebody. When someone is trying to hurt someone that I love, or to hurt me or something like that. So that's the only time I'm like that or whatever. But whatever. What else do I want to talk about? So I want to see, Russian mayor, the mayor of Russia, of a city in Russia, has ordered hate crimes against some LGBT activists in his area near Moscow, okay? And so if you're a gay person, there's lots of places you shouldn't be traveling, by the way. So first of all, if you're gay, if you're openly gay and you want to be yourself, and I mean, I'm not talking about prancing around on a freaking parade float. I'm just talking about yourself like normal, you know, whatever. You want to be yourself and walk around. You want to hold your boyfriend's hand or something, or your girlfriend's hand, whatever, but more specifically for men. There's certain places you shouldn't go. I mean, there's places in the United States you should go, obviously, too. Plenty of them. But you shouldn't go to Mexico or anywhere in South America, generally speaking. Even like Rio de Janeiro, whatever. Those countries are highly, highly religious and highly Christian or Catholic or whatever. Catholic, I mean. And then I think it might be okay in Canada, in parts of Canada, in the big cities and stuff like Montreal or in Toronto or something like that. Paris, it might be okay to some degree in some parts of Paris. London, same thing. But mostly Sydney even, but mostly places like even Italy or anywhere in the Middle East, obviously, is completely out. Anywhere in the Mediterranean is pretty much out. Anywhere in the Polish areas or like the Eastern Bloc areas are out. So really there's only very few places you can actually be gay, openly gay, and I say that meaning you hold your boyfriend's hand or whatever like you would at home. A heterosexual couple would, and be safe, which is really sad to me, because why the hell can't we walk around holding hands just like, say, heterosexual doing all the time? Well, we can. And I am far more brazen than my husband. My husband would never do that. He's very, very, what's the word? I don't know. He's not as audacious as I am. I'm very in your face about shit. I'm like, look, you don't fucking like me holding his hand? Fuck you. That's my attitude. And his attitude's like, oh my God, they're just holding hands. Oh my God, oh my God. I mean, he doesn't say it that way, but that's the way he kind of comes across, the way he thinks about things. I'm like, so the fuck what? Who cares? I mean, that couple over there is holding hands, a man and a woman. Why can't we hold hands in the public? I mean, who the fuck cares? So people say sometimes that people who hold hands in public or express affection in public are asking for it, meaning asking for a beating or asking for some sort of violence or something. No, they're not. What they are doing is living their fucking life. And if someone else has an issue with it, fuck them. I'm so fucking sick of people in this world trying to tell gay people who they should be, what they should be, what they shouldn't be, or whatever. You know what? Fuck you. I'm so fucking sick of it, because most of the time people are able to walk around, live their lives, and not have to worry about shit like that. But why do gay people have to worry about it? You know what? We don't. And so, yeah, gay people are getting bashed and beaten because they're holding hands in public or they're kissing in public, just like you see heterosexuals doing. And sometimes it may be in bad taste. I mean, deep tongue kind of stuff. I mean, obviously. But I mean, just a peck on the cheek is something different, or a mouth or whatever. But I'm saying that to say that gay people cannot do it and they straight people can is obviously a double standard. That's completely wrong, and it pisses me off. And I've never, ever liked double standards. I don't care if it applies to women or gay people or whatever. It's not right. You should go, you know, America's all about equality, not about some fucking, you know, double standard shit. So, all right, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm getting tired. I'm coming down off my high, I think. I think maybe it was the I'm drinking a limeade from Sonic. I don't know if y'all have Sonic where you guys are, those of you listening, but a Sonic cherry limeade Sonic, or Sonic cherry limeade. Maybe I'm talking so fast and so like high. I think because it has like a ton of sugar in it, which I usually don't drink these kind of drinks. But anyway, so I'll be back in just a minute and we'll talk more. If you want to call in, the number is 323-843-6160, and we will be right back.
Put my love out on the line. Never said yes to the right guy. Never had trouble getting what I want. But when it comes to you, I'm never good enough. When I don't care, I can play him like a Ken doll. Won't wash my hair, then make him bounce like a basketball. But you make me wanna act like a girl. For the other guys, when you come around, I get paralyzed. And every time I try to be myself, it comes out wrong like a cry for help. It's just not fair. Pain's more trouble than love is worth. I guess.
Okay, so we are back. If you want to call in, number is 323-843-6160. 323-843-6160. 323-843-6160. So I'm drinking, like I said, a Route 44 Cherry Limeade, which is the biggest one they have. And I'm trying to find the – I know it's got like a ton of calories in it. Where is it? Here's Limeade 44. Route 44 has – oh, has fewer than I thought. For some reason, I thought I read it had like 1,000 calories. It only has 370 calories, which is not bad at all. Oh, wait. Cherry Limeade. Wait. Cherry Limeade. Route 44, 460 calories, which is pretty bad. 123 total carbs. Oh my God, yes, this is the problem, the sugar. Because see, I don't ever take in sugar, except once a week I allow myself to have sugar. 121 grams of sugar. Oh my God. No wonder I'm like so fucking high. Oh my God. 121 grams of sugar in this fucking thing. Oh my God. That's why I'm high. I'm like a little 2-year-old kid who just had like a ton of cake or something. Anyway, that's a lot of sugar. That's like more sugar than you need for like a day or 2 days or 3 days or something. That's fucking crazy. The good thing is it has 14% vitamin C, so I'm getting my vitamin C today. I actually took a vitamin C today. I take every day. What do I take? I take vitamin C, vitamin D, vitamin B6, vitamin B12, omega-3s, and that's it. That's what I take every day for my pills, my vitamins. But yeah, so it's amazing to me when you see the kind of calorie count and the kind of sugar and the kind of bad stuff in the food and things you get when you go to fast food places. It's just really crazy. And I swear I've been lately, I tried again about a month ago to be vegetarian again. I've been more flexitarian than anything lately, but and you know, I was a vegetarian for a few months, a vegan for a few months or 2 months or something like that, like a couple years ago. And I couldn't be vegan because it just was too fucking hard. Because I mean, it wasn't that the food was fine. I had no problem with the food. I had no problem. I didn't miss meat. I didn't miss dairy that much. I didn't really miss things that much. But it was too hard to stay on a vegan diet and not have a personal chef or something making for you all the time at home, right? Or if you're going to go out to eat, even if it's not fast food, which is impossible almost to eat vegan if you're eating fast food, but to go out to like a restaurant and try to find a vegan meal, you know, even at like an Indian place, something like that, that has a lot of vegetarian dishes or something, it's still really hard to find vegan food. So I know I could never be a vegan. By the way, the difference between a vegan and a vegetarian is a vegan does not eat – well, a vegetarian will not eat meat. That's it, basically. It means they eat just vegetables and everything else and no meat. Whereas a vegan eats no meat and no dairy or anything that's made that makes up like a – made by animal products or byproduct of an animal. Even gelatin. Gelatin's made from meat byproduct, by the way, if you didn't know that. So they wouldn't eat Jell-O. They can't eat cheese. They can't eat, anything. We need gluten sometimes even. So, I mean, it's really, like, really hard to stay on that kind of a restricted kind of diet. And when I say diet, I don't mean to lose weight. I just mean that's the way you eat. So I gave that up. I was like, fuck this shit. I can't do this anymore. It was just too hard. Now, if I had, like, a personal chef or something, I probably would still do it and be doing it. But I can't. Sorry. So I've decided lately to just try to be vegetarian or whatever. And so, like I said, a couple weeks ago, I did that. And then I ran out of the food, and sorry, I started eating when I had left over. So I had to go back to the store, and I had like 3 days between when I went to the store. So I started eating sandwiches again and like whatever. So I've been back on that again. I need to go back to the store, buy groceries, and back on that. Because vegetarians, I just found out in the news, live 12% longer than meat eaters do. Not that I necessarily want to live that much longer. I think it's like, you know, if you live, okay, let's say you live to be 110, right? And some people actually are making it more and more to that age, by the way, believe it or not, as you know, people, different generations get up there. But let's say you live to 110 years old. Would you really want to live to be 110 years old? I don't know if I would. I mean, life is so fucking tiring as it is, much less living. That means I'd have to be living another 70 years, 72 years. I have to live another 72 years before I would be 110 years old. Is that right? I think that's right. Maybe it's just 60 years. I don't know, or 62 years. I'm bad at math. Anyway, so I think I'm going to, I don't know. Hopefully, I mean, it's not that I don't want to live a long time. It's just that I don't want to live a long time if I'm not, like, in good health and I'm not, I don't have my mobility or whatever, or my mind about me or any of that. As long as I'm, like, perfect healthy, I have friends and I have family, which I won't because I'll be dead. And, you know, I have no, like, I have pets and stuff or whatever, and I'm not lonely or anything, then I might want to live to be that age. But most people, by the time they get to be that age, everybody around them has died. And even if you have kids, sometimes they've died before you, which has got really lonely. Your husband or wife has died already. Your brothers and sisters, if you had any, probably are dead. All of your friends you've made throughout your life, you fostered long-time relationships with, are probably dead. All your pets are obviously dead. You have to keep getting new pets every 10 years or 12, 15 years or whatever. So it's like, it seems like a really depressing life, I mean, to live that long. So even if you have a decent life, to live that long seems like really not something I would really want to shoot for. So I don't think I want to live to that age. I mean, not that I want to die like at 60, but I mean, I think 90 would be a good age, or 95 maybe. That's probably my limit. If I could be that age, I probably won't. My grandma died at 96, so maybe I'll reach that age. That would be okay with me. But I know when she died, she was pretty much tired anyway. She was done. She was like, just, you know, she just was done living, I think. She was tired of it. But she was a great woman. I loved her very much. Anyway, so I really have nothing else to say. Nobody's calling in. I'm coming down off my crash and my high from my fucking enormous Sonic Route 4 Cherry Lime that I had. So I'm going to call it a night. And I want to thank you guys for listening. Those of you who listened in the archives, thank you. Those of you who came and listened to my impromptu show, yeah, I had no topic. I just wanted to ramble, so I did. I appreciate you coming. Well, and I hope you guys have a great night. Thanks, David. Thanks, Caleb. Good night.
This guy was meant for me, and I was meant for him.
The hardest part was figuring out where to go. I didn't want to explain military life before talking about what I needed. Safeguard Veterans connected me to people and resources that understood military life. That made taking the next step easier.
You served others. Let your community support you. Visit safeguardveterans.net and click on your city. Safeguard Veterans. Any door, the right support.